Well, glory be to God. My sister, you're singing a song another time. God bless you all. This is celebration time. Happy anniversary. 7 years. Oh, look at God. God bless you, Dr. PK. And God bless you, Pastor V. Y'all obey God. That just blessed my soul. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we just love you. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify you and we glorify you. You are so good and so worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Father God, your name is to be praised. We thank you, Lord, for the Diaz de Leon family, for connecting us. Father, we thank you for Pastor V and Dr. PK once again, Lord, because it's been 7 years, and number seven means completion. Lord, they obeyed. Lord, it's really something. It's amazing, Lord. They just love you, and they're endeavoring to do all that you would have them to do, and by just saying yes and then obeying you, they were willing and obedient. God, I thank you for them. And I just want you to bless them in a very special way. Lord, bless Dr. PK and Mr. Patton. Bless them to make it to their destination safely. Let them enjoy themselves, Father. And Lord, we won't fail to praise you. Bless Pastor V in a special way. Bless the speaker on today. Bless each and every sister or brother under the sound of my voice. Continue to bless the TMC family, Lord. We thank you and we love you. Have thine own way in the mighty name of Jesus, and we will forever give you the glory. We will forever give you the honor, and we will forever give you the praise because you are so worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Host, are you there?
I am here, Minister Wanda. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear, Minister Kai. Take it away.
Well, thank you, Minister Wanda, for seating and greeting the people and opening us up in prayer. I say good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Master's Call. As you all know, today is our actual seventh anniversary. This call was started by two amazing women of God on October 25th, 2010, and they have been faithfully serving our community since that time. Again, I say good morning and welcome to the Master's Call. My name is Minister Kai, and I reside in the fabulous city of Norcross, Georgia. And I really want to thank each and every one of you for joining us this morning in the TMC Telecommunications Sanctuary. And we wish you all the warmest of kingdoms greeting. This call is all about the Master. And as a family, we gather faithfully to give God the reverence, praise, glory, and honor, and to receive a word from on high as we begin our day. Our two fabulous co-founders are Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon and Dr. P.K. Patton. And we know that since God has the inception of this call, when he gave the mandate, he also gave the mission. And that mission is to enrich, enhance, and empower believers as we begin our day. And because we know our God is a God of order, we know that this call is founded on Scripture. And that Scripture reference is Psalms 88:13. But to you, I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. So you know, here on the Master's Call, we start this call in prayer, we end this call in prayer, and we hope that you continue each and every day in prayer. For those of you calling from a network that charge, you can call the bridge number, which is 781-838-3629. Again, 781-838-3629. 3629. This call is brought to you live each week, Monday through Friday, and you can hear the playback from the current day's message by dialing 712-432-1085, and the access code is 957-677-pound. All of the messages have been archived and recorded from the inception of the call and can be played back by visiting our interactive website, themasterscall.net. That's www.themasterscall.net. If you are feeling led to join the team and greet as Minister Wanda did, or hosts such as I'm doing myself, if you have a praise report or a prayer request, or if you feel like God has given you a word for such a time as this, please drop us an email at info@themasterscall.net. That's info@themasterscall.net. And either our Mother Eagle, Dr. Vanessa, or our Prayer General, Minister Brenda, will get back with you. Immediately following this call is the new Morning Motivational Call, and that is hosted by a group of dynamic leaders throughout artists' life that keep us informed, energized, and moving to enhance the lives of others. And that number is 712-770-4005, and the access code is 294-617-POUND. So now I am going to get out of the way as we continue to celebrate this very special day and bring forth none other than one of our very own co-founders. She is an amazing woman of God, and she will introduce our speaker for the hour. Dr. V, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Very special, happy anniversary to our entire Master's Call family, from those who were with us that very first day back on October 25th in 2010, to the many of you who hopped on the Master's Call train all the way through the years. We are grateful for each and every one of you, excited for God's faithfulness. And I tell you, the speaker today is no stranger to this family. He was with us in the beginning, our Genesis, and have just been such a powerhouse for the Lord through the years. And so many of you who don't know about him, I'm going to just read some key points from his bio, because I tell you, while I'm reading it, you need to put on your spiritual safety belts, because you are in for an awesome word of God. Now, this man of God, Minister Joseph B. Washington, as a youth growing up in San Diego, California, he struggled with severe stuttering. The relentless teasing and tormenting from his peers pushed him to work tirelessly to overcome the condition. Now, by the age of 15, he noticed a significant improvement in his speech, and you will not hear it at all today. So much, in fact, that he began to feel comfortable speaking to groups of people. Now, today, Joseph Washington has been one of the most sought-after speakers and motivators for workshops, retreats, seminars, or other presentations which strongly impact us, for that is a must in his life. Presently, he is the founder and creator of the Average Breaker, that brand, and the CEO of the Average Breaker LLC, and it specializes in training members of corporations, nonprofits, organizations, colleges, and maintains excellence. He is a featured writer in the book Walking with the Wise, along with Mark Victor Hansen, Zig Ziglar, and many more. I tell you, it warmed my heart. I was so excited that when I called him, he quickly said, yes, I'll be there for you co-founders, because we love him. And he has been a blessing to the body of Christ and a big blessing to the Master's Call. I introduce to some and present to others the awesome, honorable Minister Joseph B. Washington. Good morning. Happy anniversary. Welcome to the call.
Well, good morning to you and happy anniversary. Can you hear me well?
Loud and clear. Take it away, man of God.
Well, God bless you, Pastor Vanessa, and congratulations on another year of the Master's Call and the wonderful job that yourself and Dr. PK has done to encourage and to motivate and to inspire so many, not only in this call, but the work that you all have done throughout this earth It's just unchangeable, and I am honored once again to be able to be on this call and to share what I believe will be a word from the Lord. And so I won't be laborious with you all's time. I'll get right into the message. Let us just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for another privilege and opportunity to gather around your word. It is your word that works when we begin to work the word of God. God, we honor you. And we love you, and we declare that your word stands alone by itself. And God, we ask that you would speak to the hearers, God, that would hear the word of God on this morning, God, the word that you've given me, the message that you've given me, God, to share in this season. There's so many people who are hurting, God, so many people who are in need of healing, so many people, God, who just want to know how to get out of their present situation. So, Father, we ask that you bless this call on this morning. Again, God, we honor, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we're just going to go on a little journey real quick on as it concerns David in a situation that he found himself in that many times, so often many of us on this call have found ourselves in, or you will find yourself in it. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And the Bible says in verse number 1, then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day. Remember the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid of Negev and on Ziklag and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. Verse 2. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went on their way. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Verse number 1. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had made a raid of Negev and Ziklag and overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women who were all in it, both small and great. The Bible says in verse 1 that on the third day that David and his men had come back from Ziklag, only to find that their wives, their family, their land, everything that they owned had been burned, and that their wives had been taken captive by the Amalekites. And the Bible said that this happened on the third day. I want to talk to you all real quickly from the subject, how to overcome the worst day of your life. How to overcome the worst day of your life. Now, let me preface by saying that the principles that I will give you on this morning are principles that has certainly helped me, and I'll share that with you all in just a few minutes. But these are not principles that you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and everything's going to be all right. You're not going to leave this call this afternoon and everything is going to be all right. It's going to take time, and there are seasons. And there's things that happen along the way. And so when I say how to overcome the worst day of your life, I'm actually talking about how to overcome not only the worst day, but the worst days, and that it's going to take time. It's going to take sometimes months or years or days, whatever it may take. So I don't want you to think at all that this is a formula that's going to work today and everything's going to be all right. That's just not how it works. But I believe this is a roadmap to get us started on the journey of healing. So how to overcome the worst day of your life. I want to talk to you about the seven steps, the seven keys to getting back your healing. On August 12th, 2011, around 3:24 p.m., I was driving back from Valdosta, Georgia. I had just finished speaking. I was with my sons, as I normally am when I travel in the state of Georgia. My boys, my two sons would normally go with me, accompany me to my speaking engagement, help me sell books and tapes and shirts and all that good stuff. And so on my way back from Valdosta, Georgia, I was on Highway 75 entering right into Atlanta. Almost, if you know Atlanta, it was almost like around the McDonough area when I received a call And I received a call from my brother-in-law, and he asked me to pull over. He had something to tell me, and I told him I didn't have time to pull over. He could just go ahead and tell me. And it was at that moment, on August 12th, 2011, and I remember the time, it was 3:24 p.m., that he informed me that my mother was in a car accident. My mother, who was my best friend, she was my comrade, she was my mentor. She was the one who helped me through the struggle of my stuttering, my severe speech impediment. She was the one to help me matriculate through the process of being able to enunciate and articulate. We had did this for years. My mother was my biggest fan. She was the one that I had loved the most, probably the first woman that I loved and knew that I was commissioned to take care of. In fact, when I moved here to Atlanta, Georgia, in 1997, a year later, my mother showed up at my doorstep with her bags, informing me at that time as she knocked on the door that she was coming to live with me. No announcement, no letting me know she was coming. She just came from California, and the rest is history. She had been with me up until that August 12th, 2011. It was at that time when he informed me that she was in a car accident, and of course I said, how's she doing? And it was at that moment that he told me that she had passed away in a car accident. You can only imagine now that my heart had jumped into my stomach. My eyes did not see the same. My ears did not hear the same. I was in a fog. I was in a dismay. I was in a world that I had never, ever entered into, not really knowing how to handle it. My sons actually pulled over, and I remember sitting behind a trash can dumpster of a Waffle House and just trying to figure out what was going on, what just took place. And on August 12, 2011, at 3:24 p.m. became the worst day of my life. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to act or respond. And the days leading after that were some very excruciating days. I'll be honest with you guys. I absolutely tried to quit on life. I actually tried to give up on life because I found myself not only having to deal with the passing of my mother, but I also had to deal with the very next month of finding myself, you know, transitioning from relationships. Then the government shut down, and it just seemed like that those 90 days from October and from August to December were just terrible. But after hearing that news of my mother, of course, we had to make arrangements to, you know, get her settled in and her homecoming, and we did all of that. But the days leading after that were just, again, they were just excruciating. My body blew out with whelps. I blew up to 350 pounds. I literally tried to give up on life, and the only reason why I couldn't give up is because I don't know how to quit. All I know how to do is fight and keep going. And it was the grace of God that kept my mind, kept me from going crazy and losing my thoughts. But I was here in a situation that I'd never been in before. I've been in situations before where they weren't good, and, you know, bad days, we all have experienced that. But this particular moment, this particular day was one that I had never experienced in my life. And so I began to read 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I began to see the similar situation with David and the guys that were with him when he came home and found that his wives and his kids had been taken captive and all of his land had been burned with fire. And you can only imagine coming home and not knowing where your family is, not knowing where your kids are. And this is what David experienced on the third day. And as I began to read, I was able to extract seven things that David did to start the process. Let's talk about that, the starting the process of overcoming the worst day of your life, to start the process of healing. And for you ladies that's on the call, a lot of you all can identify with that. In fact, in my mother's passing, I started a foundation, a movement in honor of her called Running on a Broken Heel. Because, see, you know, for the last 69 years of my mother's life, she had been running on a broken heel. She never quite got her heel fixed. She had a father that wouldn't keep his hands to himself. She was diagnosed with bipolar. She was a graduate of Howard University, an amazing woman, but she was running on a broken heel. And so as I begin to read these particular passages, this particular chapter, I begin to see seven things that David did to start the healing and start the process of getting back his family. And for you and I, it's starting the process of getting our healing back, getting back to some type of normalcy. I pray that not one of you all experienced what I've experienced, but if you have, then you understand. You can say, as the prophet Ezekiel said, I've sat where you sat. And so the seven things that David did, I want you all to write these down, if you're able to do it, to write down these seven principles. But there's seven things that David did here in 1 Samuel chapter 30 to start the healing process, to start his journey to getting back his family. And for you and I, starting our journey to getting back our healing. The first thing that David did to start the journey of getting back his family, and you and I will do this in terms of getting back our healing, is found in verse 4. The Bible says, and then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. The first thing that you and I must do is that we must cry out to God. You must cry out for your healing. The Bible says that David wept until he had no more power to weep. You know that crying that, you know, when you don't even have any tears anymore, it's just air. You know, when the Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, I don't know when your morning's coming, but I do know that it's coming if you just hold on. And if you trust God in this season, God is going to get you through this situation. But the Bible says that the first thing that David did that you and I must do is that David cried out before the Lord. It was just here recently that I really found myself able to cry and to mourn the loss of my mother, to be able to share tears. I thought that if I would just hold the tears, I thought that if I would just not mourn and go through that, somehow it would go away. But it was actually the crying that began to start my healing, because there's so many great things that happen when you and I share tears. It, you know, tears, you know, they actually clear out any toxins. In fact, it's known that when you begin to cry, that the tears that flow over your eyelid actually cleans the phlegm off of your eyelid, which allow you to see clearly. Sometimes crying allows you to see clearly. And so the Bible says that David cried out before the Lord. So the first thing that you and I must do is that we must cry out before God. We must weep before the presence of God. It's okay to cry. It's okay to let it go. And for ladies, it's a lot easier, as you know, but for men, sometimes that's a very difficult thing. And so if you have a spouse, ladies, if you have a husband that's gone through something very tragic and you wonder why, you know, he's not crying or, you know, what's going on, encourage him to cry out before God, because there's nothing like it. So the first thing you and I must do, we must cry out before God. The second thing that David did in order to get to start the process of getting back his healing or getting back his family was, the Bible says in verse number 6, moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spake of stoning him. All the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The second thing that you and I must do is that we must encourage ourselves. If you're going to get healed, if you're going to start the journey to your healing, you got to begin the process of encouraging yourself. You got to hear yourself say that I'm the head and not the tail, that I'm above and not beneath, that I'm going to win. I'm going to get through this, that God's a good God, that nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to get my healing. You got to begin to encourage yourself. In fact, David remembered the lion and the bear. David remembered the relationship with Goliath as he began to think about what he was going through and the God that he had trusted all of his life. He began to think about all the things that God had brought him through, and he began to encourage himself. He began to see himself. He began to feel encouraged and understood and began to understand that the same God that brought him through the lion and the bear is the same God that's going to bring him through this current situation. And so I encourage you this morning that you remember that situation before that you had gone through, and it wasn't funny. You couldn't talk about it. You didn't know how you were going to get through it, but God allowed you to get through that situation, a situation today that you can talk about, that you can share with others, that you can help others who are going through the same thing. And so the second thing that David did, and the second thing that you and I must do in order to overcome the worst day of our life to start our healing, is that we've got to begin to encourage ourselves. Think about the things that God has already brought you through. And I know it looks tough right now, and I know it looks bad right now for some of you all that's on this call, but it ain't over till God says it's over. And some of the stuff that you're going through right now, God is allowing you to go through because he wants you to be a gift to somebody else. And not only that, but it's coming to strengthen you. It's coming to make you better for the next phase, the next level that God has for you. So David cried out before the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And the third thing that David did, which is very important for you and I when we're going through a struggle, when we're going through a situation, when we're trying to figure out what to do, what God wants us to do, is found in verse number 8. Verse 8 says, "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, Pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and without fail, you shall recover all." The third thing that you and I must do, and the thing that David did, was you must inquire of the Lord about a plan that will work for you. It's okay to call Pastor Vanessa and say, "Pastor, what do you think I should do?" And she can counsel us, as she's done over the years, as well as Dr. PK. They can give us advice. They can go to the scripture. They can give us the word, something that they do so marvelously because they've had their own struggle. They've had their own difficulties. They've had their own stuff that they've gone through. And so I've not found two women in my life that can counsel and talk to you about the things of God and get you to a point where you feel like you can conquer the world, and that can give you a roadmap and a plan. But there's some things that you're going to go through that neither Pastor Vanessa, myself, or Sister PK, or anybody else can tell you what to do. But only God can give you that plan. And so the Bible says in verse number 8 that David inquired of the Lord. So the third thing that you and I must do is that we must inquire of the Lord about a plan that's going to work for us. God, what do you want me to do? That's why David asked the question, "Shall I pursue? Shall I go after them?" And God said, "You shall pursue, and without fail, you shall recover all." I speak into the heart of every woman on this call, every person on this call this morning, that you shall pursue. You shall overtake. This is not the end. In fact, this is just the beginning of your miracle. This is the beginning of what God has for you. This is the beginning of your breakthrough. You had to go through this season. You had to go through this right now. People had to leave. You know, money had to dry up. Prayer life had to go away. Seeing that, not feeling the presence of God, you had to deal with that. So God can really just bring you to a place where you know that you know that you know without him, I'm nothing. Without him, nothing works in my life. Without him, I cannot move forward. And so David inquired of the Lord. You and I must inquire of God about a plan for our healing. Lord, how do I get back to a situation where I feel some type of saneness, where I feel like I can talk, I can get up out of this bed, I can move forward? What is it that I need to do? And it's in that moment that God begins to speak to us. As the Bible says in the book of Genesis, the Holy Spirit begins to minister to us, that Ruach Elohim, that the Spirit of God that brews upon the face of the earth. It's at that moment that Romans, the 8th chapter comes in, when we know not what we ought to pray for, the Spirit of God maketh intercession for us. It's at that moment when we inquire of God, what is it that we need to do, that our Father, he comes and he begins to minister to us. Just like in a natural, you would minister to your kids or you would minister to your friends. There is a plan that God has for you this morning for your present situation, and it's not the plan that worked for your friend or anybody else, but it's a unique plan that God has specifically for you that's going to allow you to start the process of your healing, to get out of this situation, to find yourself to the point where you can breathe again, you can think. It's a plan, but you must inquire of a plan from God. So not only do we cry out to God, not only encourage ourselves in the Lord God, not only do we inquire of God about a plan, but the fourth thing that David did in order to go and get his family was found in verse 9. And the Bible says, so David went. If you're going to get your healing, you got to go get it. It ain't going to come to you. You sitting in the bed, you sitting at home, you sitting there talking, you know, you sitting there just going over the pain and rehearsing it. It's not going to get your healing. If you want to get healed, you got to go get it. You got to go to that same place where it was taken from you. You got to go back to that same place and you got to go get your healing. You got to go after your healing. You got to want to be healed. You got to want to be delivered. You got to want to be set free, but you got to go get it. That's an action word. You have to go. I have to go and get my healing. I had to do that. I had to get up out of that bed. I had to stop feeling sorry for myself. I had to get up and take a shower and clean off, and I had to go to that place in my mind when I first heard those words that my mother had passed away. I had to go, and I had to start the process of my healing. And so you have to go get your healing. You have to go. And then the fifth thing that David did that you and I must do is found in verse 10. And the Bible says, but David pursued. So not only do you have to go and get your healing, you have to pursue your healing. Well, Joe, you just said go get it. So, but now you're saying pursuing. Isn't that the same thing? No, because anytime you and I make a decision to go and do something, it's particularly for the Lord. Anytime we make a decision to trump the devil, to kill the enemy, to let him know that we're not quitting, we're not caving up, we're not getting up, and that we're going to go get our healing. It's in the process of going and pursuing that you're going to find problems. And as you read 1 Samuel chapter 30, you'll find that those men who had gone with David, they begin to fall off. They begin to quit. You know, you're going to have some people in this season that are going to quit. They're going to move on. They're going to go. Folks that said they'll be with you forever. Folks that said they'll never leave you. Girl, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you forever. You my girl. But you're going to find people begin to fall off because what you're presently going through is too much for them to handle, and it's not even their situation. But they don't want to be associated with any type of stress. They don't want to be associated with any type of what they appear to be drama, whatever. And really what's happening in your life is that God is healing you. He's bringing you to a place of greatness, but you'll find people that just don't have the tenacity. They don't have the wherewithal to go through it all. That's why when you got one good friend, hold on to them. And if they try to leave you, go get them. You know, when you got two people you can count on that you know showing up, going to be there like a Pastor Vanessa, like a Dr. PK, you hold on to that. You get on a call when Pastor Vanessa calls and say, can you do it? Yes, ma'am. You don't hesitate because you know who they are. You know they're going to be there for you in the same situation. You know they're going to be there to fight for you. So you hold on to them. But the Bible says, but David pursued. So I'm telling you, I know you want to quit right now, and I know you want to give up. I know it looks bleak. I know it doesn't look good, but pursue. Don't quit. Don't give up in this season. Don't you stop right now. You keep fighting. You keep fighting because you got fight in you, girl. You keep going. Don't you stop right now because you're right on the brink of your breakthrough. So not only did David cry out before the Lord, not only did he encourage himself, not only did he inquire of a plan, not only did he go, not only did he pursue, but the sixth thing that David did in order to get his family back was found in verse 17 where it says, but David fought until the twilight, even until the next day of the evening. So if you're going to get your healing, the sixth thing you got to do is you got to fight for your healing. You got to fight. You got to fight as long as it takes. The Bible says that David went to sleep, got up, and he fought the enemy even the more. You got to be willing to fight as long as it takes to get your healing. You got to fight for your deliverance this morning. You got to fight for your healing. You got to fight for your children. You got to fight for your husband. You got to fight for your ministry. You got to fight for your purpose in life. You got to fight for your passion. You got to fight. This ain't the time to cave in. This ain't the time to play, you know, woe is me. This is the time to fight and let the enemy know, come hell or high water, we're going to keep doing this until I win. And that's what David did. The Bible says he fought during the day, the evening, got up and fought again because he was not going back to Ziklag until he had his family. You are not going back to that place, wherever it is, until you get your healing, because this is your healing. This is your deliverance. This is your life. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. The life that you and I are living is not no practice run. This ain't no do-over. We can't do this one again. This is it. And so if this is it, we're going to live the best life that we can ever live. But it comes with struggles. It comes with issues. It comes with pain. But it's okay, because the same God that delivered you from that stuff last year is the same God that's going to deliver you from this one right here. And so the Bible says that David fought. And he fought and he fought and he fought and he fought until he won. And then the seventh thing that David did in verse 18 as we come to a close, as the Bible says, and David recovered all. And David recovered all. You got to recover your healing. You got to get it in your hands. You got to take hold of it. And you got to make sure when you walk away from the situation that you absolutely got your healing. You have it in the palm of your hand. You got to let the enemy know I'm not leaving until I have it in my hand, until I'm totally delivered, until I'm totally free, until I'm totally healed of this situation. So we're gonna be here until I get it all. So David did what? He cried out before God. He strengthened himself. He inquired about a plan. He went. He pursued. He fought, and he recovered all. And so I want to encourage somebody this morning. How do you overcome the worst day of your life that turns into the worst week, that turns into the worst month, that sometimes turn into some of the worst years of your life? You follow this pattern of first just getting with God. And I want to encourage somebody else on this phone call this morning as I close that no, it's not over till it's over. And yes, God is there with you. But there are some things you're going to have to go through right now. Stop fighting it. Stop fighting it. Allow the process to happen. Don't disrupt it. Don't interrupt it because you don't want to have to revisit this again. Allow God to allow you the grace to go through this situation right now. And you're going to see what God is going to do. And you're going to see how your life is going to change for the better. How to overcome the worst day of your life? Follow this pattern. But just know that God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And that your best is yet to come. I encourage you. I strengthen every woman on this call. I strengthen you this morning. I strengthen every person that's on this call. I strengthen you this morning in the word. But I want you to think about something. The same God that delivered you from that other stuff is the same God that's going to deliver you now. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to gather around your word. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for 1 Samuel chapter 30 and the pattern that David used to get back his family. We know, God, that you're a healing God. The Bible says in Psalms 34 and 18, that, Lord, you are near to the brokenhearted, and you even heal the crushed in spirit. I thank you for each and every person that's on this call and whatever they're dealing with, God. I combine my faith with their faith, God, and I intercede with them, God, that, God, this too shall pass. I thank you for Pastor Vanessa, God, such a woman of grace and honor. I thank you for my sister, Lord, that you continue to bless her and uplift her and take her to the next level. Thank you, God, for Dr. PK, God, and all that you're doing in her lives. God, bless these women of God. Bless the host. Bless the ladies that got on the call to moderate the call. God, bless these ladies, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, allow us today, God, to go out and make you necessary. Allow us this morning, God, to go out and let the world know who you are. Allow us this morning, God, to make you great in the eyes of those that we come in contact with. God, we love you. We give you praise. We give you honor. And we thank you, God, that whatever the worst day has been in our lives, God, we can overcome it with your grace, your understanding, your mercy, and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor Vanessa. Appreciate you having me.
All righty, and thank you for that awesome word. I know a lot of y'all are in shock because you didn't hear an amen, you didn't hear anything, but to let the man of God deliver the word, and the board is full, like nobody left the call. You have truly blessed us. You have truly ushered in the anointing, what TMC is all about. Thank you, Minister Joseph B. Washington. He's already given us our closing prayer and encouraging everybody to hop on over to the other call. But again, thank you, thank you, thank you. And to all of us, happy anniversary, 7th anniversary to the Master's Call. Be blessed. Have a great day. Bye-bye.